Well, it is possible to move through a great mystery and not even notice. And if folks aren't in church today, there is a chance that they might not notice that it is a celebration of a brand new year. So, Happy New Year, church. Everybody, turn to somebody beside you and say, Happy New Year. Happy New Year. I know, it seems strange, right? But Pastor Dan, it's not New Year yet. No, I know, but it is the church's New Year. We celebrate this at the beginning of Advent. Every year it's a whole new year. And online I found the coolest picture of the calendar, the Christian calendar. And the dates are accurate because it was made in 2014. And so now in 2022, the dates are the same. And today, November 27th, marks the first day of the new year. And I love this calendar so much because it really is in a circle. It's not linear. You know, to remind us that for every ending, there's a beginning, and for every beginning, there's an ending. And the two are tied together, so it makes a circle. And we have Advent, the Advent season leading up to the mystery of Christmas. We have the Christmas season, as you can tell, as it goes in. That's the week of Christmas there that we'll celebrate. Christmas is in gold. Advent is in purple as well as Lent. And the color is of royalty as we look forward to the coming of the King. And then Epiphany season is green as well as the season after Pentecost. As you can see, that we think of that as the great green growing season of the church year. Some folks call it ordinary time, but it's this ordinary time of learning and growing, and then the time comes to change the colors again. So the colors have now changed, and we are entering into the time of preparing our hearts for the mystery of Christmas. How beautiful that is. And so, Happy New Year, which also means, of course, that things that were in the past, all the failures, all the things that you just want to leave last year are now in the past, and a new year starts today. How beautiful that is. I woke up this morning thinking, man, it's a brand new start to a year, but haven't done anything yet to mess it up. I wanted to be in prayer on my way around the block this morning with my dog, praying for this new year. And will you join me as we enter into the season? Let's start with a prayer. Everybody take a deep breath. God, as we breathe in this new year and we breathe out the old, we thank you for this wonderful gift. God, we thank you for the celebration today as we once again decorate our tree, as we light them up, reminding us of your light that is eternal. God, we thank you for these blessings. So God, today may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable and pleasing in your sight. God, may they bring glory to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Our scripture this morning is all about the place where Jesus was born. And we reach back into the Old Testament and we come to Micah chapter 5. And as we read this, this is quoted in Matthew's gospel. You remember as the Magi go and visit Herod, and all the people, all the scholars are poring over the scriptures to find the location that the baby is to be born. And verse 2 of chapter 5 in Micah says, "But you, Bethlehem, Ephrathah," which is a hard word to say. Ephrathah is the region that Bethlehem was in, and it means fruitful. "Though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from old, from ancient times. Verse 4, he will stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they will live securely. For then his greatness will reach to the ends of the earth. And then we turn to Luke 2, which maybe you know by heart. We start at verse 4. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son, and wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. There was no room in the inn. This is God's word to us today, and we say, thanks be to God. Bethlehem. We are entering into a sermon series for Advent on the hymns of our faith. These wonderful hymns that we dust off each year, that we treasure in our hearts, that we know by heart. And sometimes the thing is, we know them so well that we don't even pay attention to the words as we sing them. I'm guilty of that. I'm thinking about other things, or I'm listening to other people, and the meaning of the words of the hymns, they sometimes are so familiar that we don't really notice them anymore. So we're going to be looking at all these hymns. Oh, Come All Ye Faithful is the name of the sermon series, and I love the idea. And maybe you have a favorite hymn. I don't know, if you had to pick a favorite hymn, what would you choose? It's too difficult for me. I have so many favorites. Matter of fact, I think it's easier for me to think about Christmas albums that are my favorite. I do that every year. Thanksgiving, I bring out my second favorite album of the season. My second favorite album. And the reason why is I can put on this album during Thanksgiving meal and nobody notices at all. It just feels good in the background. It makes everything just feel like home. And I have more connection to my own memories than I do the cartoon, but it is A Charlie Brown Christmas. Yeah. I know Jazz Mark over here knows the record at our Christmas party last year. He played some pieces from it, and it's just beautiful. There's not much vocal on it except for little children singing really high-pitched, Christmas time is here. Anyway, I put this record on each year, and it's a treasure. But it's not my favorite Christmas, but my very favorite of all time Christmas records, and always will be, is, I've showed you this before, Bing Crosby. Yeah? Bing Crosby. And the reason why, I think Michael Blue Blake probably even better, don't quote me on that. But the reason why this is my favorite is because I have such wonderful memories of sharing this with my grandfather. He would have been 99 years old yesterday. And we got this on 8-track at our home. We bought it from a kid up the street. He was selling 8-tracks back in the day. That dates me a little bit, doesn't it? We played the 8-track version of this record as we decorated the Christmas tree. I remember how much my grandfather enjoyed it. His health was declining, and something that I always think about this time of year. And there are songs on this record where Bing Crosby sings with lots of gusto, lots of oomph, right? And one of the songs that I always love is O Come All Ye Faithful. And he sings the Latin version. Venite adoremus. It's beautiful. I think about how some of our songs of the season, they have to be louder. I mean, you just can't sing Joy to the World quietly, joy to the world. You have to proclaim it. You got to stand up and sing it. But some of the hymns of the season, they're gentle. They're soft, and they should be. And the hymn that we're thinking about and looking at today is one of those quieter songs. It is O Little Town of Bethlehem. This song was written by Philip Brooks, penned by Philip Brooks in 1865. O Little Town of Bethlehem. And there is an interesting thing about it. I'm not sure how we will find Bethlehem. We're going to see Bethlehem in January. I'm taking a group to the Holy Land, and on day number 6, we will be visiting the Church of the Nativity in Bethlehem. I understand it's a cave there that they have been worshiping in for a couple thousand years now. And I don't know that Bethlehem would feel the same as it did even in 1865 when Philip Brooks wrote that hymn. Now it's a border town with a wall running through it, as I understand. What a beautiful picture the song paints, though. It's a picture of stillness and silence and darkness. The silent stars going by, still, silent, and dark. There is a certain holiness to it that is beyond words, and sometimes you have to be still to get it. You have to quiet your thoughts because it's holy. And when you enter into a time and a space that is holy, sometimes words just don't serve you the same way as silence does. Do you know what I mean about holy spaces and holy times? I encountered one this past week. I was called on Wednesday morning to come to the Clivers, Goldie and Jim. Jim was just about to go home to be with Jesus, and they knew it. And the family was gathered around, and I got there in time to anoint our friend Jim. And when I did, I had this feeling like, well, here comes Pastor Dan. He's going to have to talk. And I didn't know what to say. And I said some words, you know, because it was time to pray. And I sort of fumbled over my words when I was trying to anoint him, but the family didn't seem to mind. And then I just sat there and did the very best I could to just be silent and still. It was a holy place, and you could feel it. You could feel that holiness. Do you know what I mean? There is also a time on the very other end of that I remember as a holy time, and that was when our children were born. And there's this silence that happens right when the baby comes to be born. And for Jonah, my middle son, that silence was, it felt like a long, long time because it took him just a few minutes to cry. And then you hear the cry that breaks the silence. There's a holiness to it. That's the way it is when we consider this hymn. The silent stars go by. It is dark, and it would have been dark in Bethlehem before we could just turn on a switch. You know, they had to light these little lamps, and you couldn't see more than, you know, 6 feet out in front of you with a lamp. And when you get to this idea of darkness and light, for God's people, it was not just a symbolic thing. It's way beyond like symbolism. It has to do with this gift that's given. It's dark out there. And when there's no light pollution, you can imagine the stars. The stillness. It was dark. And then it has this beautiful line that sometimes we sing and don't even think about. that in this dark street shineth the everlasting light, the hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. I started thinking, what are your hopes and fears? If you just had to turn to somebody, I'm not going to make you do this, but you say, what are your hopes right now at the end of 2022? What are your hopes and what are your fears? And I wonder if I ask the youth, over there, they're, look up at me, youth. They're thinking about their hopes and fears. And I wonder if their hopes and fears would be the same as our friend Bob. Bob, you win the prize, buddy, our most senior. I wonder if his hopes and fears are some of the same. They're all human, aren't they? Our hopes and fears met in Christ Jesus. What a beautiful thing that is to think about. That he meets those hopes and fears wherever we are, wherever they are. And then this beautiful part, this gift is given. How silently God imparts to human hearts. And there was this phrase right after that, this gift is given, right? And it says, no ear may hear his coming, but in this world of sin, where meek souls will receive him. And then there's this word that I never saw before. Still, the dear Christ enters in. The word is still. Now, does it mean still like again, even still the Lord Christ entered in, or is it we have to be still to get it? For that to enter in, we have to be really intentional about our busyness and our movement. Still, the dear Christ enters in. God imparts to human hearts the blessings of his heaven. You know, we can name our blessings, the blessings of earth, the ground beneath our feet, the security, the stability, the family, the home, all of our blessings we can think about, our earthly blessings that we, like the three that we're celebrating today, the blessings of God's heaven are deeper. They're more like blessings of promises kept, blessings of love and life eternal. What are the blessings of God's heaven? And then the song ends with something that I never really paid much attention to either. And that is, this hymn ends with a prayer. And I invite you today, even as you go from this place, as you decorate the tree, that this last line can be your prayer. O holy child of Bethlehem, descend to us, we pray. Cast out our sin and enter in. Be born in us today. I think this line is saying that for the good to enter, the bad must leave. Like there's this idea of casting out and entering in, right? It's like breathing. Cast out our sin and enter in. Be born in us today. We hear the Christmas angels, the great glad tidings tell. And we know that the word for angel is messengers. We hear the message again. It's the same message that we heard last year, but we hear it in a different way. We're a year older, and we hear the angels again with this message. Oh, come to us. Abide with us, our Lord Emmanuel. Maybe that can be your prayer during this Advent season. We hear the Christmas angels, the great glad tidings tell. Oh, come to us, abide with us, our Lord Emmanuel. Let us pray. Almighty God, Lord of the star fields, God, we thank you for the blessings of the heavens. God, we thank you for our songs, our hymns that we sing to you, and that we hear an echo from all the angels singing, glory, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill to all people. God, we thank you for the message and for the messengers. God, we thank you for the times that we remember hearing this message from people that were here with us and now are eternal with you. God, we feel their presence with us, and it means more than any presents that are under our tree. God, we thank you for these gifts, for these traditions. God, for the chance once again to decorate, to light up, to celebrate. So God, we thank you for filling our hearts once again with these blessings, and we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.